Amen. Now, some of you still have children here in the auditorium, and Brother Jason is going to go to speak to all the boys and girls while I'm speaking in here. My kids are going that way, and so if you'd like your children to go, they may not be part of the Awana, as mine are not. If they're sixth grade and younger, they're welcome just to come to the front, and Brother Jason will take them right out this door to the children's service that's going on over there. I see others who are coming, so if any of the other kids want to go, they'll have a special service just for the boys and girls. And I'm glad y'all are here tonight. You know, it helps your prayer life when you put a three-year-old on the platform to sing. And that'll sure help you to pray. But he did all right, didn't he? A few weeks ago, we put him on a platform, and he was just kind of starting. It was kind of the first time we had done it. And he didn't sing hardly anything until he got to the last note. When he got the last note, he said, "Day," and right into the mic. And he got that one, but he didn't get anything else. Hey, I'm sure glad you're here tonight, and I want to take you to the book of Romans tonight, and in the few moments we have left before we call this night an end, I want to look at something in the Word of God that is more important than anything else in life. So you locate the book of Romans. If you're next to someone who's without a Bible tonight, let's all try to see the Word of God together. My wife and I, about five summers ago, this coming summer, we had a friend in Las Vegas whose dad is a pastor in Vegas, and our friend was getting married. And he invited me to be a part of the wedding. And so my wife and I, we got a babysitter for our three. We only had three in those days. And we got a babysitter for our three children. And I took my wife, and we flew out and spent a few days together, not only getting some time away, but being a part of this wedding. We got on, I forget now where we flew from, but we flew to Phoenix. And we changed planes in Phoenix, and then we flew on over into Vegas. It was a short flight from Phoenix to Vegas. And in that flight from Phoenix to Vegas, we were on the plane. We were actually, although we landed, we didn't change planes. We had the same plane. So my wife and I, because we'd already been on the plane, were one of the first ones to get back on. They'd give us a pass that let us do that. So we got on and got seated right up near the front. And after we were seated, they began to board the plane there in Phoenix. And after a few moments, a stewardess came on, a flight attendant. And as she came onto the plane, she had a little girl with her, probably 8 or 9 years old. And the little girl got on, and it was obvious she was flying alone. She had a little note on her lapel that indicated that. And so the stewardess, the flight attendant, said to her, Now, honey, where would you like to be seated? She said, "Do you want to sit on the aisle or do you want to sit by the window?" And the little girl said, "I want to see out." And so the flight attendant had been on the flight with us previously. The flight attendant said to my wife, and I was on the aisle, and Bethany was right here, and there was an empty seat by the window. She said, "Hey, would you guys mind if Haley sat by you there at the window?" Well, my wife and I have a little girl ourselves, hey, this is great. Come on in, Haley. And so Haley crawled over me and over my wife and sat down. And have you ever met a little girl who had started talking and just couldn't stop? That's how Haley was. She was a yakker. And she said, my wife had her Bible with her. And so my wife had a red Bible and had it in her lap. And she was just carrying it along. We'd read it on the flight, or she had. And so Haley sat down, and she looked at my wife, and she said, "Is that a Bible?" And well, my wife said, "Well, yeah, that's a Bible." And Haley said, "Cool." And so she started talking for a few moments, and she said, among other things, she said, "I go to a Christian school." And we're trying to talk. I said, "Well, where do you live?" She said, "Right here in Phoenix." And I said, "Well, you go to a Christian school." "Well, I preach a lot of churches in Phoenix." And I thought, "Well, you know, maybe I know the school she goes to." And so I said, "Hey, Haley, where do you go to school?" And she sat up and she looked at me and she said, "I can't tell you." She said, "My mama told me not to tell that to strangers." And I thought, well, that's fair enough. So I kind of went on. Okay, that's fair. Well, after a few moments, Haley's just thought, I remember she said this. She said, "I'm reading the Bible." And she said, "Do you know what my favorite verses in the Bible are?" And of course, you know, "Oh, what's your favorite?" She said, "In the book of Revelation." Now, that's a hard book for you don't know much about the Bible. She said, "In the book of Revelation, there's this story in the end of time that these locusts come out of heaven and they bite people and sting people and they hurt them real bad and they can't die." She said, "That's my favorite part." Oh, wow. Don't you want to meet her husband someday, huh? You know, I remember Haley because after a few moments, I lost interest with Haley. I thought, "I've had enough," you know. And so my wife, I hate to tell you this part of the story because my wife had her Bible. But I had a Louis L'Amour book. And so I started reading my Louis L'Amour book. You know, we're flying off through the air to Vegas and getting ready to go to this wedding. And so I'm reading my Louis L'Amour book. And after a moment, I just, you know, you kind of hear them talking but not paying attention. And after a moment in the course of the conversation, I heard Haley say this. She said, "My daddy and mommy are divorced." And she said, "My mommy, she knows Jesus. She's saved." And she said, "I'm saved." But she said, "My daddy, he's not saved." She said, "But I have a plan." Well, you know, I'm an evangelist. I go all over the world telling folks how to be saved. And I thought, hey, I want to hear the plan. So I quit reading Louis L'Amour. And I sat up. What's the plan? She said, "Here's what I'm going to do." Now, she's about 8 or 9. I'll never forget this. She said, "When I get to Vegas," she said, "I'm going to tell Daddy, you know, Daddy, I love being here with you. But I sure miss Mommy, too. And you know, Daddy, one of the things I miss about Mommy is that Mommy, every night before bed, reads to me some Bible verses." She said, "I'm going to say, Daddy, while I'm here this month, do you suppose you could read to me the book of Romans?" She said to my wife, she said, "Don't you think if my daddy reads the book of Romans, he might get saved?" You know, I'll never forget that little girl, Haley. Because you know what? She was right on target. "I'm not going to read to you the whole book tonight. But I've chosen the book of Romans because here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you tonight about how to know you're going to heaven." In the book of Romans, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul, who lived many years ago, wrote down these words. And among other things, what Paul shows us in this book is how to know we're going to heaven. The most important decision in life is to know that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that when you die, you don't have to go to hell, that rather, you're on your way to heaven. And here's a book that'll tell you how to know you're saved. And I'm just going to go right through it. I won't be long tonight, but I'm going to start in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. This is where Paul starts, and he gives us some information about ourselves. And listen to what he says. Many of you may have heard this verse somewhere in your life, and whether or not you've heard it, you're going to know this. It's true. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now let me ask you a question. Nobody but us tonight. As far as you know, is that true? Does everybody do wrong at times? Yes or no? As far as you know, is that true? I think that's a given, isn't it? You don't have to go to church to know that one, for crying out loud. You know, the Bible says that we choose to sin. Sin is when God says don't do it and we do. Or God says do it and we don't. For instance, doesn't God's Word tell us we're not to lie? And yet all of us have, haven't we? Haven't you lied? I was in, my wife loves to shop. Any shoppers here tonight? My wife loves to shop. My Ford pickup gets 5 miles to the gallon. Now, Bentley, she loves to shop that much. And my wife and I were traveling out in California several years ago. And in California, and out west, there is a candy store named See's Candy. You ever had See's Candy? I'm telling you, I love chocolate, and See's Candy is my all-time favorite chocolate candy. And if you're out west, and you go to a See's Candy store, you walk in, and there are black and white checkered floors, and everything's white and black, and I mean, everything is spick and span. And if you walk into a See's Candy store, just for walking in, they'll give you a free sample. Well, I like to go in several times. That's how good it is. I love See's Candy. So we were out shopping in Glendale, California, on the north side of Los Angeles. And my wife was a 4-story mall. This is going to take a while. And so my wife's shopping, and I'm here, you know, I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm with my wife who's shopping. And then I got to looking at one of those, you know, billboards that shows you what store. And they had a See's Candy store on the 4th floor. So, man, I got in line. I got up to the escalator, and I went down to the See's Candy store and got in line with a bunch of people I didn't know. And I'm waiting on my free sample, and I was going to buy some, too. And this lady got in line behind me. I can still see her in my mind. She looked wealthy. You know what I mean by that? You can look at this lady and say, hey, she's probably got money. Either that or she is way in debt. Because she was dressed in very expensive clothing. She had a very expensive purse. And she just looked wealthy. While we're standing here in line, her cell phone rang. You know, none of us knew each other. We weren't talking. The folks up at the counter were talking. And we're waiting and nobody's talking because, you know, we don't know each other. And her cell phone rings. And when it did, she answered it. And since we had nothing else to do, we all just listened to her conversation. And we're on the 4th floor of the Glendale Galleria Mall in Glendale, California. And here's what she said. She's talking for a few moments and she said, you know what? She said, I'm going to have to call you back. She said, because I am stuck in traffic and I just cannot write that down. You know, I wanted to turn around and say, liar, liar, pants on fire, but I didn't have the courage to do it. You know what? The fact of the matter is, everybody is just like her. Everybody does wrong. Your Bible tells us that not only does everybody do wrong, the Bible says that we are actually born sinners. We're born doing wrong. You know, you parents that are here tonight, isn't this the truth? If you don't believe children are born sinners, have a few. Am I right tonight? Don't you love it? I mean, I love my kids. Those four, aren't they good looking? I'm telling you, I love those four kids. But you know, they were born sinners. You know, I've never sat down with my kids and said, come here, come here, come here. Hey, come here. I want to teach you how to tell a lie tonight. Did you ever teach your kids to do that? Let me ask you a question. How did they know? How did your kids know how to lie and to disobey and to fight like cats and dogs and to argue about meaningless things and to have meaningless conversations? Did not, did two, did not, did two, did not, did two, did not, did two, did not, ditto, did not, infinity, did not, did two. How'd your kids know to do that? Because they're born sinners. See, ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty made this universe. And when God Almighty made humankind, He made them perfect. And yet, humankind fell into sin because they chose to disobey God's law instead of to obey. Did you know that ever since that time, according to the book of Romans here, the Bible says all of us have sinned and all of us have come short of the glory of God. Now listen tonight, nobody here but us. The Bible says we've not only sinned, we've come short of God's glory. Now let me show you something. This will help all of us. In the sight of God, God has a standard. Now look at this. God's standard is absolute perfection. Did you know God is perfect? He always has been. He always will be. God's standard is perfection. Now you think about you and think about me. See, you don't even know me and I don't know you, but all of us know this about each other. God's standard is you want to go to heaven? You got to be perfect just like me. Well, here I am. Look at this. No matter how good I am, I still fall short. No matter how good you are, you still fall short. See, you can be a preacher, but you're still a sinner. You can go to church, but we're still sinners. Why, you can get baptized and be confirmed and go to catechism and try to be a good dad, and I think any dad should, don't you? You can try to be a good mom, and I think any mom should, don't you? But you can be good. But listen, no matter how good we are, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, you may be better than I am, and that's entirely possible, isn't it? But you still come short of the glory of God. So what the Bible starts out by showing us is that every one of us are sinners. None of us measure up to God's standard of perfection. And you get to Romans 6 at verse 23, and He shows us one more truth. You want to turn over there and see it? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says these words. For the wages of sin is death. Boy, look at me tonight and listen to those words again. I'll quote them. The wages of sin is death. Three things I've showed you tonight. As you look into the book of Romans, what Paul shows us in the book of Romans is that all of us are sinners. You agree with that, don't you? Why, haven't you lied? I mean, haven't all of us been like the lady in the See's candy store who conveniently lied about what was true? All of us have. See, every one of us are sinners. Did you know the Bible says in Revelation, let me see, I wrote it down. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, that those who are fearful, those who are unbelieving, those who are sexually immoral, those who are idolaters, and those who are liars, that every one of those will die someday and go to hell? That's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say this. The Bible says, if I do everything perfect, and yet I offend God's law in one point, the Bible says I'm a guilty sinner. I'm guilty of it all. So how many times do you have to do wrong to be a sinner who's going to be punished for your sins? According to God's Word that I hold in my hands tonight, you have to sin one time to be a sinner. One time. Everybody in this room tonight has lied, haven't you? Hasn't every person in this building tonight done that which is wrong? Haven't all of us lied? Then what I want to show you tonight is simply this. All of us deserve to go to hell. In fact, what the Bible says is that's where we're going. Now let me ask you a question. I know nobody here but us. Let me show you the truth. How many of you would assume I'm going to heaven? Seven hands. Can I try that again? Let me just back up here and try that again, all right? Surely you're just not voting. Let me try that again. How many of you would assume that I'm going to heaven? You know what? Most folks would, wouldn't they? Now be honest, nobody here but us. Why would most folks assume I'm going to heaven? Because I'm a preacher. You know, most folks would assume that, hey, that guy's a preacher, surely. If anybody's going to heaven, he is. But did you know the Bible does not teach that at all? Well, what the Bible says about me is this. Just like you, I'm a sinner. I've disobeyed God's law. Just like you, I'm not good enough to meet God's measure. I fall short. And just like you, listen to me tonight, the wages of sin is death. Just like you, and you just like me, why, both of us should have to die in our sins and go to hell. See, hell is a place that God's Word describes, uses to describe the location of those who die without Jesus Christ as Savior. There's a punishment for our sins. That's what Romans says right here. The wages of sin is death. Now, let me show you my favorite verse in the book of Romans. Are you ready? What have we learned so far? Here's what we've learned. Number one, all of us are sinners. Did that make sense to you? All of us are. I am. Pastor is. All of us are. None of us, follow this now, none of us measure to God's standard of perfection. Why, you're not perfect, are you? Nobody ever has been. So all of us fall short. Are you following this? All of us do. And the result is that every single one of us, including me, have to die in our sins and go to hell. This is what makes the next verse such a wonderful verse. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. This is my all-time favorite verse in the book of Romans, and here's what it says. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the most wonderful verse you'll ever find in the Word of God. Remember, you and I are sinners. Remember that? We're sinners. We don't deserve to go to heaven because God's standard is perfection and we keep falling short. And every one of us ought to go to hell because of our sin. But do you realize, my dear friend, that there is no doubt at all in the universe you are loved by a God you may not even know. And here's how I know He loves you. Because He sent the Lord Jesus to die for your sins so you would not have to die someday and go to hell. In fact, you could die someday and spend eternity in the wonderful place called heaven. A real place made by the same God that made this universe. You can be saved because of Jesus Christ. This verse says God loves us. And the word is commendeth His love for us. You know how I know God loves you? He proved it. He showed it. He showed His love. Because although you and I are sinners, He sent His Son to die for our sins. He did that for me and you. I was preaching several years ago at a camp in the state of Tennessee, and I was preaching to about 50 junior boys and girls. And as I was talking to them about this verse, God commendeth His love toward us, I was trying to give them an illustration of how it shows us God's love. And I said, boys and girls, it's like your mom and dad, if your mom and dad are married. The Bible says a husband is to love his wife. I said, boys and girls, how can a husband show his wife he loves her? I was trying to illustrate to boys and girls. These are boys and girls, the little ones. How can a husband show his wife he loves her? And this little boy raised his hand. He was from Georgia. Anybody here from Georgia tonight? He is from Georgia. Here's what he said. He said, well, he said he could tell her. And you know what? That's not real deep theology, but that little boy was onto something, wasn't he? He can tell her he loves her. That shows her he loves her. And I said again, boys and girls, how can a husband show his wife he loves her? And I will never forget this. There was a little boy sitting up front of that auditorium. He was probably 8. Had a little blue jeans, a little cowboy shirt. We were at a camp. It had a ranch theme. And he had a little cowboy, you know, bandana. Had his little cowboy hat beside him. Had his little cowboy boots on. Had his little hand up. I said, young man, how can a husband show his wife he loves her? And here's what he said. He said, well, he said he could buy her some fried chicken. Wouldn't you love to know where in the world that came from? You know, when I'm in trouble, I'll go buy flowers or something, but I've never thought about going and buying fried chicken. See, that's a simple little truth, isn't it? You can see that if someone knows, if someone's going to know you love them, you got to show it. Isn't that true? So how do I know tonight that God loves you? How do I know that? Because, dear friend, listen now. You follow those three truths? Even though you and I are sinners, Jesus died for our sins. And even though we keep falling short of God's standard of perfection, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus met the standard. And even though it's my sins as a sinner, even though I ought to die in my sins and go to hell, I don't have to because Jesus died for my sins. And you know what? He did that for you. You know why He did that for you? Because God doesn't want any one of the boys and girls you saw standing on this platform tonight to someday die in sin and go to hell for eternity. God never wants that. And God has done everything possible to keep boys and girls out of hell, and moms and dads out of hell, and grandfathers and grandmothers out of hell. And here's what He did. He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Isn't that a glorious truth? Isn't that a wonderful truth? Aren't you glad tonight to know that you're loved by God? Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what you've done that's wrong. You're loved by Almighty God. He died for you. Now here's what the Bible's telling us. Number one, we're sinners. We fall short of God's glory, and we ought to go to hell. But we are loved by Almighty God, and He proved it by sending Christ to die for us. Every bit of that is true. And so that brings us to this question. If all of that is true, then how can I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? How can I become a child of God on my way to heaven? How does that happen? If all of that's true, I'm a sinner, and yet Jesus died for my sins. I ought to go to hell, and yet I don't have to. I don't understand it, but I'm loved by God. Well, if all of that's true, well, then how do you become a Christian so you can die someday and go to heaven instead of hell? And the Bible answers that. I want to give you two passages, and I'm done. Go back to Romans 6 and verse 23, and let's finish the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the answer. Number one, God has a gift for you. It's a present from God for you tonight. From God. You're loved by God. 2,000 years ago, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was risen from the dead. You are loved by God, no doubt about that. In spite of our sin, we ought to go to hell, but we don't have to. Christ died for us. And tonight, the God of the universe offers us eternal life as a gift. It's free. In fact, you know what the Bible teaches? If I try to earn it, I can't have it. Can't have it. God won't give it to me. Because here's the point. I'm never good enough. I keep falling short. Yes, but I go to church. But I keep falling short. Yes, but I got baptized. But I keep falling short. Yes, but I've been to confirmation and I went to catechism and you name it. You might say what I say. I'm a preacher. But it's not good enough. I fall short. What I need is Jesus Christ. He's the gift. He's the gift. See, I can't save you tonight. I can't save you from hell and give you eternal life. But according to the book of Romans, Jesus can. Do you follow this? Jesus can. I can't. Jesus can. And not only that, it's not only true that He can. He wants to. He's eager to. He's willing to. He's ready to. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. That's our God. That's the Lord Jesus. And then listen to Romans chapter 10, and I'm done tonight. I love this passage. And this is my final passage. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. Listen to what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Watch this. 40 of the boys and girls that you saw on the platform tonight, they got saved this year in Awana. What does that mean? Just like you, and just like me, these boys and girls are sinners who do not deserve to be saved. According to the Word of God, all of us deserve to die someday and go to hell. But the same God who loved me and you and sent His Son to die for us, sent His Son to die for these boys and girls. God always loves boys and girls. He loves adults too, but He loves boys and girls. You know how these boys and girls got saved? These boys and girls you saw standing right here on this side of the platform tonight, they got saved based on what this passage says by number one, confessing that they were a sinner. God, you're right, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to go to heaven because I'm not good enough. Number two, they believed that Jesus Christ died for their sins and was buried and was risen from the dead to save them. They believed that. They said, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe you can save me. They believed it. Dear Jesus, I can't get myself to heaven, but I believe you can do it. Dear Jesus, there's not anything I can do that's good enough, but you're offering me eternal life free. I believe. Number one, they confessed they were a sinner. Number two, they believed Jesus could save them. And number three, they asked Him to do it. They said, dear Jesus, will you save me? Will you save me? You know what? There's a dad here tonight. And you know what, Dad? Your son, your daughter sitting on this platform, they got saved. They're going to heaven. It's not because they're good enough. They still sin just like you do. But they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked Him to save them. And He did it for them. And you know why we had this service tonight? There's a number of reasons, but one of the number one reasons we had this service is because just like these boys and girls got saved and now they're on their way to heaven, we wanted to tell you as mom and dads how you could be saved as well. Because you know what? Dad, there's all kinds of reasons you ought to get saved tonight. Mom, there's all kinds of reasons tonight you ought to get saved. Why, in the first place, you ought to get saved just so it'll keep you out of hell. Don't you think that's a good reason? Well, I don't want to go to hell, a place of God's judgment and fire and torment and torture. Number two, I ought to get saved just so I can go to heaven. Don't think of heaven in Hollywood terminology. Heaven's not fluffy clouds where you wear a little golden halo and wear a white robe and play a harp. I don't like harp music, do you? That doesn't appeal to me at all. Anybody, I mean, can you see us sitting around for 10 billion years? And I don't want to do that for eternity, do you? That's not what heaven's all about. Heaven is about living forever in the presence of God in a perfect land. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no turmoil in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's joy in heaven. There's the peace of God in heaven. There's a river in heaven. There's a city in heaven. There's country in heaven. There are houses in heaven. There's living in heaven. There's a street in heaven. There's eating in heaven. Heaven is a reality. And there's only two choices in eternity. Every one of us will someday die and go to heaven, or we'll die and go to hell. You have to decide. And it's based on what you do with Jesus Christ. That's it. See, I can think of all kinds of reasons you ought to get saved tonight. Just to keep you out of heaven, so you can go to hell, so your sins can be forgiven. You can be forgiven tonight. You can be forgiven. Number four, just so you can become a child of God. You ought to get saved tonight just so you can become a child of God. Here's one more. You know why you ought to get saved tonight? Because your boys and girls are. You know, Daddy, that son who got saved this year, he may have been afraid to tell you because he knows you're not saved. But he got saved in Awana. And he's a child of God on his way to heaven. Why do you realize, Dad, someday that young man will die and go to heaven. And if you're not saved and you die and go to hell, you'll never see the sun again. That's Bible truth. Why, God doesn't want that for you. Friend, do you understand tonight? God wants to save you from hell. He wants to give you eternal life. The question is, will you get saved tonight? Say, well, Dave, sure I'd get saved tonight. What should I do? I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ask us in a moment, don't do it yet. I'm going to ask us in a moment to close our eyes for prayer. And if you want to get saved tonight, I'm going to ask you to get saved right there where you're seated. Just go ahead and do it. In fact, I'll lead you in a prayer. In your heart, I'll lead you in a prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'll tell you what to pray. And you can ask Jesus to save you tonight right there where you're seated. Number two, I'd ask you to do one more thing tonight. I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to save you right where you're seated. And then number two, I'm going to ask you tonight to let us pray with you about that. And here's all we'll do. I'm going to ask you tonight in a moment after we pray together, I'll ask us to stand. My wife's here and she's going to go to the piano right here in a moment and she's going to play a hymn. In fact, she's going to play an old hymn. You may have heard it. Just as I am without one plea. It's an old gospel hymn. She's going to play that. When she does, I'm going to ask folks across the building to stand, but keep their eyes closed. You don't have to be embarrassed tonight. I'm going to ask everybody to keep their eyes closed. All of you tonight who will ask Jesus to save you, I'm going to ask you to walk to the front. I'm going to have the pastoral staff line up here at the front. There are several of them. I'm going to ask the pastoral staff and maybe their wives. I think that'd be great. Pastoral staff and their wives are going to line up here at the front. And what I want you to do is this. Eyes will be closed. I'm going to ask you to pray right there at your seat. Ask Jesus to save you. And before we go home, I just want you to come forward. If you're a lady, go to one of the ladies and shake their hand. And here's what they want to do. They'll just have a word of prayer with you tonight and say, we're sure glad you got saved. And if you're a man, one of our men, just shake a hand with a man. And they'll pray with you tonight. And we'll say, aren't we glad you got saved? That's all we want to do. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in life. Daddy, it does matter what you do with your life. It matters how you raise your children. But the number one decision you've got to make in life is what will you do with your soul and with Jesus Christ? Mommy, would you get saved tonight? I hope you will. Just close your eyes right where you are, would you? If you want to ask Jesus to save you tonight, then do it right now. Just do it right now. In fact, my dear friend, pray this prayer right here in your heart tonight. Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it. Just pray that in your heart. Jesus, well, I'm a sinner and I know it. I'm not good enough to meet your standard. You're perfect and I'm not. I'm not good enough to meet your standard. Pray that. My dear Jesus, according to your word, I ought to go to hell. I believe you died for me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you want to save me and you rose from the dead to do it. Dear Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Savior tonight. I'm asking you to save me from hell. I'm asking you to give me eternal life. Would you just pray a prayer like that, even in your own words? And ask Jesus tonight to save you and forgive you. Nobody's looking now. How many of you right there, right now, at your seat, are asking Jesus to do that very thing for you? Would you just raise a hand enough that I can see it? And just keep it up just a moment. I want to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of you. God bless. I see 8. God bless you. Take your hands down. I hope you know how much God loves you tonight. That's the absolute truth. I want to pray that prayer one more time. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. I'm not good enough for heaven. I never will be. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me. Will you save me tonight? Will you give me eternal life tonight? If you haven't prayed it a moment ago, but you will right now. Right now you are. You didn't a moment ago, but you will right now. Would you raise your hand and let me see it so I can pray for you as well? There's 2 more. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for you. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody in the service who would say, you know, David, listen, I know I should. I really do know I should. I know I should. But I'm not tonight. I know I should. But I'm not tonight. Will you at least, though, remember to pray for me? Is there anybody like that tonight? I know I should. I'm not tonight. Will you remember to pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Raise a hand enough that I can see it. And I'd be more than happy to remember you in prayer. Anybody? All right, then listen very carefully. Keep your eyes closed. You that just raised your hands and said you asked Jesus to save you, would you be willing to just open your eyes and look at me? Nobody else will know you're looking but me and you. Would you just open your eyes and look at me? I know you meant that. I know you did. And oh, I hope you know how much God loves you. He sure does. He cares about you. He does. He loves you. He cares about you. Pastoral staff, would you go ahead and stand here at the front just so they'll see you? I want you to just look. You that just had your eyes open, the staff's coming. They're going to line up. We're not going to open our eyes tonight, but we're going to stand for prayer. And when we stand and the piano starts to play, would each of you just come and shake hands, ladies, with one of the ladies. Here they come. Guys, with one of the men. And they're going to have a word of prayer with you tonight, and they're going to encourage you. We'll go home in just a moment. Before we do, I want to ask you to come. As quietly as you can, stand to your feet. As soon as the piano starts to play, would you that raised your hand and said, I asked Jesus to save me, would you step out and come right now? Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. Would you come and let one of the pastoral staff have a word of prayer with you about it? Bless you, ma'am. Bless you, ma'am. God bless you, couple. God bless you. The rest of you, just come on. Let them pray with you tonight. We need some ladies. Some of you deacons and deacons' wives, would you come on to the front so you can pray? And just have a word of prayer with these dear folks. Right here, Miss Bailey. Right here's a lady. Good. God bless you. Yeah, there's several ladies. Now there's somebody else. You too asked Jesus to save you tonight. You did it too. And why don't you come right now and let us pray with you. Don't be a bit embarrassed. See, nobody's looking. You just come on. That's right, ladies. Say, excuse me. He'll let you out. That's wonderful. Just come right on. We need 2 more ladies right over here by Pastor. 2 more ladies right over here by Pastor.